Morning.
Morning.
Let me fix this. It's good to be back here. I think I was here last year. Thank you for the introduction. So I'm from Main Church in Chinatown. Today we'll be looking at the book of Revelation, focusing on the Church of Laodicea. And this church is known as the Lukewarm Church. But before we dive into this specific church, if you've read Revelation before, there's other churches. There's actually six other churches that Jesus shares. And each one of these has a commendation or praise, you know, what they did well, but also some of them had rebukes. So I'm gonna kind of go through some of these churches, and then we'll dive into Laodicea. So Ephesus was a loveless church. The people of Ephesus were hardworking. They endured, and they also hated evil. From the outside, they may have looked like they had it all together, but their hearts were wrong. The two greatest commandments are to love God and to love people. And Ephesus was, you know, missing this single greatest component, which was love. You know, it was hard for them to love. Smyrna, which is the persecuted church. There was no rebuke for this persecuted church. Although they were continually under a lot of physical hardship, the people of Smyrna were promised that they would not be hurt by the second death. They were encouraged to stay faithful, even though they were facing a lot of persecution. Pergamum, which was a worldly church. The church was the tolerant church. Although they refused to deny Christ, they allowed, you know, a lot of idols, you know, a lot of sin, immorality, cults, heresies, to remain among, their church and kind of, seep in. Thyatira, which was the watered down church. The church of Thyatira had love, they had faith, they had good works. They were even patient people who were eager to grow. Where they fell short was their doctrine. They were infiltrated by idolatry, sexual sins, and also pagan traditions. Sardis, which was the spiritually dead church. Almost all of the people in the Church of Sardis had fallen asleep spiritually, except for a small remnant of believers. The spiritually dead church was encouraged to kindle and revive, you know, that small bit of faith they had left. Philadelphia, which is the suffering church. Philadelphia did well. There was no rebuke, you know, for this church of faith. There was a promise of the kingdom of heaven for these Christians because, you know, they kept the name of Jesus, never denied it in the midst of their suffering. And finally, we come to the seventh church, which is Laodicea. And Laodicea is the lukewarm church. The church of Laodicea was the only church that received no commendations. You know, they only received rebukes. Jesus directed some of the harshest words recorded in the Bible to this church in Laodicea. Most of us might, you know, be familiar with this passage in Revelation about the church in Laodicea. He says that they were neither hot nor cold. They were lukewarm, and Jesus would spit them out of his mouth. The church made Jesus ill. Today, we will see what went wrong in Laodicea, what is needed to remedy their spiritual illness. But first, I want us to take a look at the city of Laodicea to see the culture, but also the climate of what was going on in the city and how it affected its people and also the church there. So Laodicea was a very, very wealthy city. It was founded by Antiochus II, named after his wife, Laodice. The city was situated 40 miles southeast of Philadelphia on the road to Colossae. The city was strategically located on an intersection where three highways converged, thus making it a highly commercial, one of the richest commercial centers in the world, and a picture of an affluent society. It was a prominent center of banking and industry. The city was famous for its manufacturing of this beautiful black glossy wool used to make fine clothing and carpets. There was also a medical school which made a powder when mixed with water would become an eye salve or ointment, and it was exported, you know, far and wide as a treatment for eye ailments. So the wealth in the city, you know, they had a lot of things. You know, they built theaters, they had a huge stadium, they had lavish public baths and a fabulous shopping center. The city was so wealthy, you know, there was actually an earthquake that almost destroyed the entire city in 60 AD, and its wealthy citizens refused help from Rome in building up the city. You know, if, you know, because they had their own wealth. If you were a real estate agent at the time, it would be hard to sell any land in Laodicea. It was a great place to live, and it was a land of opportunity. And, you know, does it sound familiar? You know, like New York City or New Jersey? So the only negative thing about the place was there was a lack of adequate water supply, which we'll, you know, we're going to actually see later on. The city of Laodicea was so rich, you know, and there were people there were also rich, not only in the city, but also in the church. The church had apparently, you know, been established by the preaching of Epaphras, who was a fellow servant of Paul's. The Laodicean church was written a letter by Paul as seen in Colossians chapter 4, which, you know, God's providence was lost. It was quite apparent when we get into the text that the Christians there were also, you know, affected by their environment. They were affected by the city that they were lived in. And this is indeed a valuable lesson for us today. So I'll start out with verse 14. It says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. This letter had, you know, no word of commendation. In writing to the other six churches, you know, Jesus has something good to say about all these other churches. He recognized something positive, but not here in Laodicea. All he says is, these are the words of the Amen. In Greek, this phrase, the Amen, it means a firm, stable, sure, you know, established and trustworthy. What was the point of, you know, Jesus trying to get across? He was saying that this church, you know, he's telling them, don't kid yourselves. What I'm about to say may shock you, but rest assured it's true and is correct. Verses 15 to 16 says, you know, as we mentioned, it was actually some of the harshest words in the Bible. It says, I know your deeds and that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. This is perhaps, you know, the most familiar passage from the book of Revelation. Many, many lessons, many, many sermons have been given from these two particular verses. John writes, I know your deeds in particular, you know, they are lukewarm. Laodicea, as rich as it was, you know, it was a crossroads. It had this beautiful location in Asia Minor. But as I mentioned, they had a serious water problem. This water was piped, you know, via an aqueduct from 6 miles away. And by the time it arrived in the city, the water was lukewarm. It was tepid, it was filled with minerals, and when people drank it, you know, some people would become nauseous. So he was using this local, well-known problem relating to their water supply to allegorize a spiritual meaning of you know, the how the people were. So John says that Jesus wished they were either hot or cold, one or the other. Now I understand his desire to, you know, for them to be hot, to be on fire, to have passion for God, to have passion for their faith. But yeah, have you ever wondered why he would prefer them to be cold? We might think it's better, you know, to have an outright rejection of the faith rather than being, you know, wishy-washy or being lukewarm. At least, you know where you stand with Jesus. But I think if we dig a little bit deeper, we'll find the true meaning. So nearby Laodicea were actually two cities, Hierapolis and Colossae. The city of Hierapolis was 7 miles north of Laodicea, which was next to these white cliffs, which, you know, formed by hot springs that run out of the foot of the hill. Now, because of these hot springs, this town was known for its hot baths. And the hot baths in Hierapolis were spectacular. The hot baths, you know, went, you know, from the public squares into the private homes. And everybody in the world knew this. You know, if you were tired, if your feet ached, from walking for, you know, miles and miles, if you were sick in some way, you will come to Hierapolis and sit in these hot springs for some relief and comfort for your aching body. People will come hundreds of miles, you know, just to try to find cures and healing from their skin diseases or arthritis at these famous hot springs in Hierapolis. Second city is Colossae, which was 10 miles away. It was built at the foot of a gigantic mountain. This gigantic mountain was Mount Cadmus, and it was always covered with snow. Most of the year, thundering down from the mountainside was dozens of streams filled with fresh, clean, cold water. You know, eventually it would reach Colossae and provide them with this cold, refreshing water. Back in biblical times, you know, there were no refrigerators. There was no ice machines. So on a hot summer day, like today, you know, if we were walking around for hours and thirsty, the cold waters of Colossae would be a welcoming sight for you guys to get refreshment. So hot at Hierapolis, cold at Colossae. To the church in Laodicea, it was in between these two cities. And Jesus was saying they needed to be spiritually beneficial, like a refreshing, you know, drink of cold water or a soothing warm bath in the hot springs. You know, but they were lukewarm in their spiritual condition, and you know, they were actually no benefit to anyone. They had lukewarm water in Laodicea, you know, and you know, as I mentioned, the water made people sick and nauseous, and it caused them to spit out this water. John could have used, you know, another Greek phrase that simply means to spit, but the correct translation of this wording here actually means to vomit. So, you know, these are harsh words. If, you know, this church of Jesus had become so passionless, so indifferent to God, it would, you know, they would actually be of no spiritual benefit, to anyone. If its members had become, you know, of no spiritual benefit, you know, then it made Jesus sick and he wants to vomit them out. The desired effect of the church's lukewarmness made Jesus sick to his stomach. And we might ask, what is lukewarmness? How does it look like? According to a dictionary, lukewarmness means a lacking warmth of feeling or enthusiasm. To a Christian, you know, it might be a state of indifference, complacency, or apathy. Perhaps, you know, because they are self-satisfied or they feel self-sufficient to profess Christianity while remaining untouched by the fire, by the fire of God. It's a disaster not only for the church but also the world. Their coolness, their aloofness, their self-centeredness was a denial of the meaningfulness of Christ, what God has done for us. They said they believed in Jesus, but they lived like God was unimportant in their lives. They were compromising what he did, which he died for us, and it was an insult, which caused Jesus to vomit them out. This is a very strong warning to those who might be apathetic or spiritually indifferent. Jesus, expressed, he would rather vomit them out. He made them, made him sick to his stomach. That's what lukewarmness is. C.S. Lewis said it like this. The only thing Christianity cannot be is moderately important. Let me repeat that. The only thing Christianity cannot be is moderately important. We might say, God is just one of the things in my life. I have a social life, I have a career life, I have a family life, and, we have this a little piece of the pie, which is called my church life. But God says, how dare you? I love you so much. I love you so passionately. I made you. I created you. I planned you. I purposed you. I sacrificed and actually saved you. And I gave you a place in heaven. And you would treat me half-heartedly with indifference, saying, excuse me, but there's something else that I'd rather put more important than you. If we're simply going through the motions, if our heart is not in it, if we're not living or working for Christ every day in our lives, we are no benefit to Jesus. God cannot be an appetizer or a side dish in our life. He needs to be our main course. The next verses shows us what causes this lukewarmness, which has seeped into the church in Laodicea. Verse 17 says, you say, I am rich. I've acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Here we find the cause of the spiritual problem in the church in Laodicea. They had become infected with love of material things as they were wealthy. Perhaps the most dangerous point made here is the fact that they were so caught up in their wealth. They were unaware of their own sinful state. They were spiritually dead. They didn't even know it. Affluence had lulled this church to sleep. The Laodicean church was prosperous as far as material goods, but they were poor spiritually. Jesus quotes them as boasting, I am rich, and become wealthy and need nothing. Their economic wealth had blinded their eyes to their need of spiritual riches. The lack of spiritual receptivity or devotion or faith to God manifested in their lukewarm state. Jesus tells them that we're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Jesus knew the condition of the church in Laodicea. Not only that they were wretched and miserable, they were dead and didn't even know it. And notice again what Jesus says about their condition. They were poor, blind, and naked. Jesus is pointing out, these specific areas of misery, but he was contrasting it all to the riches that were in the city. As we were mentioning, he was saying that they were poor. They were wealthy. They had plenty of money in Laodicea. They thought they were rich, but in fact, they were spiritually poor, blind. As I mentioned, Laodicea was known for its eye salve or ointment, yet for all the salve that they had in the world, they couldn't cure their spiritual blindness. Naked. You know, they were known for the finest black wool in the world, but all of which couldn't cover their spiritual nakedness. Jesus gives the Laodiceans and us a remedy for lukewarmness. You know, starting by in verse 14, he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Jesus provides the only true cure for their spiritual sickness, and it can't be found in banks or goods or medicine or anything that has, you know, material or worldly treasure. What then is his advice? He says, the true cure can only be found in Jesus. He counseled them to buy from him. The Laodiceans were financially wealthy, yet they were spiritually bankrupt. They lacked spiritual riches, which only could come through Christ. This gentle irony is an exhortation for them to buy these needed spiritual things. Though they were well endowed with the riches of, you know, this earth, what they needed could not buy with material wealth. They were to obtain gold from Christ, which were the true riches of righteousness and faith. The church is then summoned to cover her nakedness with garments of purity, which were washed white by the blood of the Lamb, and to buy salve to put on their eyes from their spiritual blindness, so they could finally have spiritual eyes and spiritual perception. The emphasis is that everything comes from God. You must no longer trust in the riches of this world, but come to Jesus for eternal riches. They consider themselves self-sufficient, you know, but, you know, they must humble themselves so that they could rely on Christ. And our passage ends in verse 19 to 22. It says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. There's only one word of counsel for the spiritually compromised and who are lukewarm. You know, Jesus puts these firm words in the context. You know, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Good parents discipline their children that they love. You know, have you ever seen a parent give up on a child? You know, maybe, you know, they throw up their hands. You know, if a kid is having a tantrum, they actually walk away. It's heartbreaking, right? We can be glad that God does not do that to us. He loves us so much, to leave us the way we are. And he wants us to come back to him. But Jesus does not barge into our churches where he is not welcome. He does not barge into our lives if he's not welcome. He wants an invitation. Verse 20 says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with that person and they with me. Though blinded by their wealth, their love of material things and lukewarmness, Jesus still loved these people, provided an opportunity for repentance. The same is true for us today. He stands at the door and he knocks. We have, you know, to make the next move. It's our responsibility to open that door. For us this morning, the church in Laodicea is a warning for us today. You know, the church in Laodicea relied on their riches, the things of this world, which resulted in lukewarmness, a half in, half out type of Christianity, lacking in every way. It was compromising. It was conceited at times, but it was also Christless. We as Americans are so blessed compared to the rest of the world. We are actually a modern day Laodicea. We live in the wealthiest nation in the world, in one of the most materialistic cities in the world, with millions of things to tempt us away from Jesus. We fall into the same trap as the church in Laodicea, which revels in what the natural eye sees, but is untouched by the gospel, does not see beyond the veil of the material, to the unseen, the real eternal spiritual riches. I don't know about you, but, this thought of this scares me. We need to ask ourselves this morning, are we lukewarm? Are we going through the motions, doing things out of habit? Have we compromised in our lives? Are we too busy with our plans, trying to live out, the American dream, getting married, buying a house, having kids, then, hopefully retiring one day to live it easy, maybe on a beach, with some, sun and fun. I'll close this morning with a story. Last year, I'm a Mets fan. So I went to a Mets game with one of my friends, who is a Yankee fan. He likes actually going to Mets game because he lives in Long Island, and Citi Field is actually closer than Yankee Stadium. But my friend, he works at the NYPD, and he's been there over 20 years. And we were chatting during the game about, how many more years, does he have left so that he could retire? Because I think you could retire after 25 years. And you get a nice pension. What, they were going to do, possibly afterwards. Maybe move down to Florida or, to relax, on the beach. Well, he shared that his pastor, actually, gave an illustration by John Piper, at this large Christian conference many years ago. John Piper, brought up this idea of the American dream to this large Christian conference. And, he said, to most of them, that, might have bought into this idea of the American dream and not make any spiritual impact or benefit for Jesus. He was saying, this was a tragedy. He shared a little article, from Reader's Digest, which was entitled, Start Now, Retire Early. It talked about, Bob and Penny, who took an early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast. He was 59, she was 51. Now they live in Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot boat. They play softball. They, go to the beach and collect seashells. And he was saying this was a tragedy. And there are people in this country who is building, they're spending billions and billions of dollars saving for retirement to, to kind of buy into this American dream. And John Piper says, I have 40 minutes to plead with you. Don't buy into it. With all of my heart, I plead with you. Don't buy that dream, this American dream. The nice house, the nice car, nice job, nice family, a nice retirement, collecting seashells. At the last chapter, before you stand before God himself, the creator of the universe, to give an account of what you did, and you show Jesus, show God, here's my seashell collection. Now have a nice house, a nice boat. And John Piper that day challenged those at this large Christian conference to make their life, to make a difference, to make an impact. Don't waste your life. God created us to have a purpose, which was to love God, but also to love people. Life is short, even, you know, especially what has happened to us the last 3 years with COVID. We need to be hot or cold. We cannot be lukewarm. We need to be a benefit for others, to give them comfort and to refresh their souls. Don't waste our life. And if we are lukewarm this morning, let us go to Jesus to buy gold from him so that we may be spiritually rich, that he will cover us with white cloths to cover our nakedness, and to have Saul to treat our spiritual blindness so that we can see our purpose for God, which is to love him and to love people. So this morning, is Christ knocking at your door? Don't delay and invite him in. Invite him into your heart so that you can change your heart and you can change the world. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are our God. You have given us Jesus. We admit that we are sinful and at times we are lukewarm. But we pray that you, Lord God, would help us to come to you to buy gold, to be spiritually rich, that the blood of Christ would cover us and make us clean, that we would be forgiven, that we would find Saul to cure our spiritual blindness so that we can see through your eyes what we need to do. Our purpose is to love you and to love others, to bring people into this kingdom. So we pray that you would help us not to be lukewarm, but help us, Lord, to be a benefit to others so that we could not only build up your kingdom, but to give glory and honor to you. Jesus, I pray. Amen.